Today on Real Life Radio.
The greatest thing ever is to be used by God. The world uses us and we are wounded and broken at the end of the day. When God uses us, we are pumped up, excited, and ready for more.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
The featured offer of the month. This is a book you will love. Lisa and I have been reading it for a couple of years now, actually. It's a devotion. And you're saying, Jack, what is it? It's the book titled Now I See, but the word see is like the ocean, S-E-A. It's written by Jenny Coate, and she is a wonderful author, and she's bringing you devotions themed around the ocean setting, the dynamics of storms and winds in our lives, challenging moments and times when it's peaceful and calm and beautiful. Now I See by Jenny Coate. You're going to want to get a copy, I promise you. I say this on behalf of Lisa and myself. Now I See by Jenny Coate is an absolute wonderful read.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea by Jenny L. Coate. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled God-Ordained Priorities, Part 1. 1 Corinthians was, of course, written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us its heart and its mission. You see, the Church of God is not emotionally based or governed by feelings and fears. Instead, the Church is living. It's a breathing example of the work of Jesus. The Church is an impossible thing without the Holy Spirit and without a clear calling of what our ministry is. So today we learn that the Lord provides all that we need to be used for His purpose. God wants us to be clear about our mission and to share with such clarity that it brings life to all that are willing to listen. Now, with his message called God-Ordained Priorities, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible teaches every believer has at least one gift given to them by the Holy Spirit to be operated in the church, and thereby, and when that happens, there is a revival happening in your life personally and in the church corporately. There's no excuse for the church of God to not be in a state of revival, rather coma or comatose. The reason why a church dies, the reason why a church is dead, is because the participants, or I should say the lack thereof, those who attend that church do not really care about the things of God. They do their Christian time for an hour. They punch in on Sunday for 1 hour. They punch out when they leave the building. And that's all there is to the existence of their Christianity. And the Bible is against that kind of living. And so with great passion, we're coming to this study of the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm excited. We're looking at a message this morning, if you jot it down, entitled God-Ordained Priorities. Will you jot that down? God-Ordained Priorities in verses 6 to 25. And rather than read through all of that portion of Scripture right now, we will do it piece by piece as we get into our study. Before we do that, mark these things down. It is the heart of this apostle, the Apostle Paul, and it's his mission that the church be the living, breathing example of Jesus in the world today and in the world of the first century as he spoke to the Corinthians. And I want you to think about that for a moment. And I put some verses together. You'll have to write them down. You won't see them on the screen. What is God's will for you and I as Christians? Before I read this, will you raise your hand if this morning you're a Christian? If you're a Christian, raise your hand. Raise it high. Let me see. Okay, you're all in huge trouble now. God saw your hand go up because this is God's will for your life and mine. It starts in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. It says there that Jesus said to them that the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 28. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Matthew 28:19 says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, or behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Acts 1:8. For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You put those verses together, and that's the will of God for you and I today. God says, I've saved you, I've delivered you, and now I'm sending you back out into a hostile world that is against this gospel. But there's fruit out there in the world that I'm asking you to go get, and that is the conversion of souls that are hellbound. I want you to rescue them. I want you to pluck them, as it were, out of the fires, and I'm going to give you the power to do that. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit's power to do that very thing in your life. That is an exciting thing. God has given us all that we need. And so here we go. Number one in our study this morning, God ordained priorities, is found in verses 6-9, and it's this. God-ordained priorities is that we are clear. And I want you to jot that down. As Christians, we are to be clear about our ministry and our lives and our faith as believers. We are to be clear. Number one, jot it down, clear about our call. Clear about our call. Look at verse 6. He says, but now, brethren, I come to you, or if I come to you, speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching? What is Paul saying here? By call, I mean that God has appointed you. A moment ago when you raised your hand, Christian, you cannot deny, as you raised your hand, this truth is your life, that God has called you. He has predetermined or appointed you to a ministry life. No matter where you live, no matter what you do, you are first a Christian before you are an accountant. You are first a Christian before you are a truck driver. You are first a Christian. You are first a Christian before you're a school teacher. And the whole thing is that God would use your life in a very clear way as a believer. We are no longer, and we never were allowed to in the first place, to be covert Christians, undercover Christians. And so God has given us strength and power, but far too many Christians today lament the fact that they don't have power, and that ought not be the case. When he says that, if I come to you speaking in a tongue, he's speaking about a language that the audience doesn't know. Listen, Bible students, he's either talking about a known language of the world that the audience is not familiar to. Example, if I started speaking German right now and you didn't know German, this service would be wasted. Or if I were to speak to you in what we'll see later on in our studies, a heavenly language, that is the tongues of angels, as scripture refers to, what would that benefit you? How would that benefit you? In the context of the church, it does not benefit you. Paul says, I would rather come very clear speaking. As Christians, you guys, we need to be careful. And I know this is not exactly in the context of what we're looking at, but we can be guilty to the world out there of speaking in front of them words that they don't understand. We can be speaking English, but we can be speaking Christianese, Christian slang. At every moment when we walk around as believers and say things like praise the Lord, the world doesn't understand what you're saying. If you say hallelujah, they don't understand why you're saying it. They may know the definition of the word, but they don't know why you're saying what you're saying. Are you that kind of a person who just spouts off Christianese, and if somebody were to grab you and say, what do you mean by that? You'd say, I don't know. We need to be clear in what we speak and how we speak. Because God wants to use each and every one of us as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, that God wants to use us. There's no greater experience than when God uses you. It is absolutely a joy. I got to tell you real quick. When God uses you, I would think after all the years that I've been used by the Lord, and I humbly say that, that the next opportunity for me to be used by God, if it's on the calendar or whatever it might be, or if it's an encounter today, that my body, you know, your body and my body, our bodies often say, I don't want to go, or I don't want to do that, or why did I do that? Why did I sign up for that thing? I shouldn't have said yes to that. And you kind of drag your heels in. You're going there with a grumpy attitude, and it's like, oh, man. And then you show up, praise the Lord. Couldn't wait to get here. And your attitude's wrong. But you know how God works? He's so amazing. The moment he starts using you, you can be tired, you can be worn out, or you could be whatever. But when God begins to use you, at the end of him using you, you are so pumped, so energized that you wouldn't have missed what just happened for anything. And yet going into it, your flesh was screaming all the way to the slaughter. Your flesh is crying and I don't want to do this. And then God uses you and you're so glad about it. You're so happy about it. Church, you and I need to get over that hump of our flesh saying, don't sign up, don't be available, don't make yourself usable, because you know what? You're tired, you're worn out. The greatest thing ever is to be used by God. The world uses us and we are raped and wounded and broken at the end of the day. When God uses us, we are pumped up, excited, and ready for more. He's amazing that way. The call upon our lives is clear what God has given us to do as believers. And Paul is saying, listen, tongues are great in the right context. But he says, look, I'd rather come to you making sense. He says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, prophesying or teaching? These are public, audible gifts of understanding. Even things without life, whether a flute or harp, even they make a sound. Unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is being piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Verse 9, so likewise you. Unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. God wants our ministry to be clear. Spiritual growth comes to us when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And Paul is saying, be used by God. This makes us look back at verse 2 of this chapter. Look at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says there, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Will you highlight that? That is a wonderful thing. That is a blessed thing. He's also instructing us. When a person speaks in tongues, he's speaking not to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. That's a great thing in the context of its delivery and usage. When tongues are used properly, this gift can be a great asset to connecting you and I with God in worship, in praise. Mark this down. Are you guys with me? Mark this down. The gift of tongues is to connect us, assist us in our worship and praise to God. It can be used in a smaller context. The Bible actually teaches in a smaller context, be it a smaller group of gatherers of believers. It can also be used in such a way that a tongue is spoken, an interpretation is given, and it will always be praise, and it will always be worship of God. When tongues is used privately, when no one else is around, we'll see this in our studies in weeks ahead, there's no need for interpreter and there's no need for anyone to be present. It is privately, silently, you alone with God, and it's your speaking forth in the Spirit unto the Lord, and it's a great, great, wonderful form of worship and prayer in a private setting. We'll see this. We'll be experts at this by the time we get through this.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
When he says these four key things about, I'd rather come to you publicly and deliver these things to you, mark these down in your Bible, circle them. The first of all, the words revelation. Apocalypsis. The word means I'd rather come to you rather than speaking in a tongue. I'd rather come to you making clear or by unveiling, to cause, to appear, or the appearing, to bring or deliver something. The word means to enlighten you or to manifest the truth of God to you. The next word is knowledge. Look at that word. Gnosis in scripture. It means to know the plan or the mission. Paul says, when I come, I'd rather come and give you the plan for the mission. It is the word that means the science of that which can be studied. What an amazing thing. Look at it again. I'd rather come to you prophesying. This word means, and you know it by now in this study, it means to foretell to you the word of God and an element of foretelling. There'll be a prophetic element in the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. The word also means an inspired or God-controlled person. Paul said, I'd rather come to you publicly like that as well. Fourthly, he said, I'd rather come to you teaching. The word teaching is an instructor in things pertaining to God. A teacher is a discipler. It means that he's a developer. It means that he's a builder regarding spiritual matters. Paul said, I'd rather do that. Why? Because as Christians, our lives need to be clear. Church, before I go on to the next subpoint here to this study, our lives in front of the world, in front of and out in the world, our lives should be a profound declaration of spiritual clarity to people. This world is unclear about everything. Listen, isn't it scary? I tell you what's going on. I tell you, if you haven't been to our Wednesday night studies, you're missing a big deal about what's going on in our culture. But man, I tell you, it's snowballing. Somebody could stand up today and say, the sky is blue, and the world will attack and say, it's blue to you, but not to me. Have you noticed that everything that's going on today, it's all about what you want for your own truth? You can declare what is truth to you. We have arrived in our nation as a people that does whatever's right in our own eyes. Forget about God and forget about what is right. And when the Christian shows up, we are foreigners, my friend, in a strange land. When you and I show up and we speak truth, the world rubs its eyes and scratches its heads and say, what? Have you noticed that? When you stand for what is biblically true and you state it clearly and you live it clearly, that there's no mixed signals, this is part of the revival that God wants to do in your life. Come on, listen. You cannot be a Christian for 55 minutes a week. Didn't Jesus say in Revelation that if that's the case, I will vomit you out of my mouth? That's called being lukewarm. No, listen, we are to be, and the Holy Spirit wants us to be, lights in shining armor before the world. And I'm not saying being rude, ugly, and mean. No, never, never. The truth is to always be spoken in love, but the truth is to never be compromised. And we speak clearly. And when we speak and when we live in harmony with what we speak, and there's a power to that, the world will have to sit up and take notice. They may not agree, they may not accept, but they have seen, they may never read the Bible, but they've seen a living, breathing example of Christianity. Amen. Just this church, listen, not only just this church, just this first service of the day, there's enough Christians right here, right now, to live a godly life out before the Lord in such clarity that the world would be embarrassed at our love for the homeless, our love for the hurting, our love for the community, our love for the kids of our schools. Think of it. And when the church doesn't step into that clarity, that void is filled by darkness. And that's what's happening. The next thing is found in verse 7. God-ordained priorities is this, that we are clear about our mission. Verse 7, even things without life, like a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? Man, we know this. Do we not know this? And he's talking about mission. Look, see these drums? I could get on here and I could beat the tar out of these things and you would say, please stop. For that matter, I could stand here and try to sing. And you'd say, Jack, it's time to sit down. I know what to get involved in and I know what to stay out of. You will not see me in the worship group. That is merciful for you. If a guy comes up with a trombone and doesn't play it right, it is going to be the most hideous thing. Hey, for that matter, a violin is amazing. It is torturous in the hands of someone who doesn't know how to play it. And Paul is saying, as believers, when we speak, doesn't the scripture say that our lives to those who are being saved is like an aroma of life, but our lives being lived to those who are perishing, our lives is like an aroma of death? When we speak, there should be life to the hearer, and to those that are rejecting, it's as though we were speaking death. They don't get it. And there's too much hypocrisy in the church today. You say, no, what, huh, what? Yeah. Listen, every child, every kid, junior, children's ministry, junior high, high school, these kids know the truth about what goes on in our homes. And are we leading our kids to Christ or driving them away from Christ? If the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, there'll be a revival in our lives. And even if our homes have been contradictory to the will of God, your children watching, imagine if God touches you in this service or in this series of teachings and you wake up to the fact, that's right, God wants me energized for him and I'm going to live for God. And your kids see the difference. Oh my goodness, what has been a negative thus far, unclear, with no mission and no call, now becomes a direct purpose of your life. Your kids will be, your husband will be, your wife will be the first one affected by your pursuit of God. And it will be good. Amen. It will be good. We have a mission. And that is a tremendous thing. Dr. H.A. Ironside says, someday, regarding this verse, he said, someday we will all sing solo before God. That's scary. It scares me. Now, if you have a great voice, you're saying, right on, that's going to be great. Well, then maybe he won't have you sing. He'll hand you that violin. No, Paul is saying, listen, as a church, we need to be clear and we need to be understood. And that's vitally important. The next thing is usefulness. God ordained priorities for our lives as a usefulness, verses 8 and 9. He says regarding this trumpet blowing, he says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. This word, look at this, easy to understand. It's only one word in Greek. We had to use three English words. He says in verse 9, understand. That word means when we speak, our words should be well situated. The word means well placed, to slip easily into. The word means effortlessly sliding into place. When we speak, this is fun. This gets exciting. I'll tell you the reason why. This word implies, frankly, I think the word demands that when we speak as believers, we speak in such a way that it causes a person to have to make a decision, that there's such a clarity regarding what God is speaking through the believer that the person listening has to come to some sort of a decision. Listen, those of you who are Christians and you are serious about your relationship with Jesus, have you noticed that there's certain family members they don't want you talking when you come to Thanksgiving dinner? Have you noticed that you have certain friends or family members who they don't want you to be with them when it's playtime, when it's goof off time? They don't want you to go with them to the river. They don't want you to go with them to Vegas. You want to know why? Because just the thought of you causes them to feel convicted. Oh, he knows God and I'm in Vegas and what happens in Vegas, I want it to stay in Vegas. I don't want them to go with us because it won't stay in Vegas, because if they're there, then it's going to remind me that God is there. And you see what I'm saying? There's a clarity to that, and there's a usefulness. And in the same token, when someone's hurting, when someone is injured, when someone is hit, their lives are taken over by the evils and sin of this world, the usefulness surfaces this way. They call for you. Listen, your family that doesn't want anything to do with you because you're a Christian, don't worry. Something's going to happen in their life, and they will call you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called God Ordained Priorities, Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, everybody. How many people have you ever talked to, either A, they said they give Christianity a try, but it didn't work, or how many people do you know who have been Christians, so-called, for a long time? They even got their master's degree in divinity. They got a doctorate in theology. They studied. They got into the books. They heard all the sermons. They wrote all the papers. Where are they today? Listen, here's the secret that's not a secret. The only way Christianity works is that once you learn something about Christ, he's expecting you to go do it. If you learn about Christianity and you don't do it, it will actually come back to bite you. How many people know so much about the Bible and then decades go by, they never put it into practice, and they wound up becoming really weird about things?
And they kind of fell off the edge, you know? Why? What happened? They never took what they knew and put it into practice. They never took what they learned and did it. They learned, they talked about it, they wrote a paper about it, or they might even written a book about it, but they never did it. Christianity is all about doing it. And that's living out God's will for your life. If you're not doing that, then your Christianity will fail. Because God's definition of Christianity is to go tell the world, go minister to the hurting, visit orphans, comfort widows, get involved, put your faith in Christ in action. It's actually called Christianity. It's not a noun as much as it is a verb. So let's get up, let's do it by the power of the Holy Spirit.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.